Welcome to Land Academy.
I'm Jack Butella.
I'm Jill DeWitt.
We show you how to buy real estate for half of what it's worth
and sell it on the internet really fast.
We are Jack and Jill,
and this is the Jack and Jill Show 2.
With over 15,000 completed transactions, we're the experts at acquiring property.
Of all kinds, not just land.
For half price and flipping them for way more.
All right, let's get this show started.
Jack Butella with Jill DeWitt.
Hello.
Welcome to our show today. In this episode, I can tell it's going to be funny already. Jill and I talk about time-saving tips for land investors, or really anybody. Before we get into it, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free.
Okay. I forgot who this is, but this is their code name on here. Sham God ass. There's a subdivision. I've got a few tentative deals in, but the parcels might not have legal access. They're not landlocked, but have the possibility to be in the future. Properties are slow moving, priced at $1,000 to $5,000 an acre out there, but those are the ones without potential access problems. What type of price would be your max? I've got a 5 and a 10 acre property that I'm looking at. I'm thinking $3,000-ish for 5 acres. Does that sound about right? Not sure if there's a good rule of thumb.
May I?
Yes, please.
There's two questions here. What's the deal with access, and how should I price this stuff? So I'll take the second one first. How should I price it? And in general, there is a rule of thumb for vacant land like this. You want to be at about 40% or 50% of the lower echelon of priced property, which sounds to me like it's about $1,000 an acre. So that would bring you down to $500 an acre. So $500 for 5 acres is what, $2,500? Yeah. So he says right at the end, I'm thinking $3,000 per 500 acres, ? Does that sound about right? Well, you answered your own question. That sounds perfectly priced to me, where you can double it and sell it for six thousand. You could sell a 5 acre property for $6,000, which is doubling your money really quickly, and you're still way below what retail is. So the answer is hell yes.
Mm-hmm.
Question number one. Number two is, they're not landlocked yet, but they might be in the future. Well, in general, Jill and I do not buy property that has no access. When you look at it on the screen from Google Earth or from Parcel Factor or wherever you're looking up your property, and there is absolutely no way to get it, not even a regular trail or anything else, and it's not close to a road, we pass. At any price, we pass. If it's showing some signs of, yeah, it could be platted, legal access, but there's just, you know, you need to blade a road in, now we're talking. So that's a good reason sometimes to buy really undervalued property, because nobody's taken the final step to just make it a great piece of property. That's what it sounds like here. So I would, the answer is, unfortunately, I don't have a hard and fast answer, but the answer is look into it. You call the assessor and look into it in great detail, because sometimes you can buy property that's incredibly inexpensive or undervalued because nobody's taken the final step to just get a road in there. Mm. Now's a good time for me to bring this point up because it's come up all week. I called the assessor and they said, fill in the blank. What are they going to say, Joe?
I'm not an attorney.
That is one thing. Let's play this game right now.
You mind? Sure. You interrupted my lunch.
I called the assessor. Yep, go ahead. Keep going. You're on the right track. I called the assessor and they said, call an attorney.
It's a bad area.
It's a bad area. Ding, 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 ding.
Nobody's buying anything.
Nobody
there.
Buys these properties.
Those
why,
are junk.
Why would you ever want to live out there?
Exactly.
This is, you know, I hate myself. I'm a negative person. I'm very angry. And
you interrupted my lunch.
And I'm 25 pounds overweight. So I'll call you back. I have to go smoke a cigarette.
Yeah.
All of those
maybe
things.
That's it. I call the assessor and I go, yep. You know. I'm sorry.
If you smoke, you should quit.
Oh, that's bad.
My point is this. I get this question almost once a day now. I called the assessor and they said, I'm crazy. This is awful. Of course they're going to say that because you're asking them to do stuff. They're government employees that don't want to do stuff.
Oh my gosh. Woo. You're just, wow.
So what, just all I'm saying is this. Yes, the county is, you're a very necessary part of this whole cog. And but take what they say with a grain of salt.
Right.
If you're the kind of person who calls a county, one county person, and they say you should never buy property in that subdivision, and that's all it takes for you to stop, this might not be business for you.
Exactly. Yeah.
If you like, are like
if you
Jill,
really believe that.
If
yeah.
you're like Jill, whose middle name is Workaround.
Yes.
Jill Workaround DeWitt.
Yeah, that's right.
That's only going to motivate you
that's
to
me.
Get to the bottom of it and yeah. buy some cheap property.
So, fantastic.
So that's my whole rant.
This assessor is scaring everyone away. Now I want it that much more.
Me, that's how I am.
Too. I'm the only one.
Good.
Awesome. I can get it really cheap.
Obviously, I'm going to buy the whole subdivision.
Apparently,
if it's that bad.
It is.
Because I'm here to tell you, there's no such thing as a really bad piece of real estate.
Wait, I have to tell you something really funny. And I know he listens to this call religiously when he's walking his dog. Hello. He knows who I am talking about. He's like, Jill, you told me to stay out of this county recently, like you're in this subdivision. I'm like, yeah, that one. I said, come on. It was one of those that we've been there a long time ago. I don't know if it's really happening right now. I was trying to help him out, and he's going to laugh at this. And I was telling him really nicely, maybe look at a different area. And he's like, well, Jill, I didn't listen, and I'm killing it.
Awesome. Those are the best calls.
I'm like, that's great.
All the stuff you guys say is wrong.
Thank you.
And you know what?
Thank
Good.
You, Mr. Outwalking my dog right now. And you know who you are.
I did the opposite of what you said, and I tripled my investment. You
yeah.
know, that's the best thing you can say to me.
I'm like, all right, you proved me wrong, and I love it. Exactly.
If you have a question or you want to be on the show, reach out to either one of us on landinvestors.com. Today's topic, time-saving tips for land investors, or really anybody. This is me to the show. Jill, do you have... I see you have a sticky note full of stuff. Pink sticky note.
All right. So before the show, I was just thinking, like, all right, I tasked Jack and I to quickly come up with three time-saving tips that we want to share. So I'm going to start with mine. Jack, you can piggyback on mine or insert yours, however you want to do it. So here are my top time-saving tips. Number one, outsource the hard stuff or the menial tasks.
Oh my God, that's my number one.
Is it really?
Mine is outsource the stuff you don't like or yep. the stuff that you're not good at.
There we go. And like I'm giving some examples like, mail, printing.
You mean printing offers to go
printing
out.
Printing offers to go out. How about inbound phone calls? Not outbound, inbound phone calls. Those are all things that you should outsource. Some of them because it's not a good use of your time. That's a lot of it. And then the other things, you have to dig deep for yourself and just find out, what am I really not good at? And I'm going to outsource that kind of thing.
You know, I'm from the Midwest, and there's this unwritten rule / aura that the person who suffers, that whatever they're doing, wins. Suffering is somehow rewarded.
Where did
rewarded.
That come from?
It comes from the Midwest Rust Belt.
That's the stupidest thing on the planet.
Car company manufacturing culture.
I work 10 hours today.
That's it, Jill.
No.
When you get out to California, it's like dude.
I work 2 hours today. Woohoo!
My house tripled in value last month, and I surfed all month, man.
Totally.
And that's what I think.
Ooh, you can take the girl out of the state. But
God, what does that say about me?
Oh, gosh.
Take the UAW out of the boy.
Right.
Anyway, somewhere in the middle is good, I think. That's my unsolicited advice.
Right. Okay, so that's my number one. Number two, time-saving tip for anybody, land investors, any investor, review multiple deals at one time. Save them up. You're collecting all this stuff. Maybe it's Friday afternoon. Maybe it's Monday morning. I don't know. Pick a time. Maybe it's twice a week because you have that many coming in. But review a bunch of deals at the same time.
So,
you got your maps open, you got your stuff open, and you could quickly go yes, no, no, yes, yes, no, no, you know, whatever.
Do stuff in batches.
Mm-hmm.
What Jill's specifically saying is you send a bunch of letters out, a lot, and they trickle in, right? So one comes in, then two, maybe four phone calls come in on Thursday. And so save it all up for one session and don't, instead of just living in the muck, so to speak.
Right. Like, because every time why. The phone rings, next thing you know, you're spending an hour on it. I mean, no, don't do that.
Here's why, because if you review them as they come in, one by one, and the first one you look at, it's like, yeah, maybe I should do it. And then another one 3 days later, and then you do the deal. 3 days later, if a great property comes in, you're like, oh, nah, I shouldn't
have
done
that. Shoot, I tied up my money over there.
Right, so.
You want to do, line them all up and pick the best ones and do it at once.
Which is my number two.
Oh.
My number two is stick to a schedule. Create a schedule for yourself, literally. I don't care if it's pull a calendar off the refrigerator and write the stuff down like, Thursday is my deal review day. Friday is my IT day. Saturday is my take my wife to dinner day.
Because the kids walk up to the fridge and it says, Thursday, spaghetti and deal reviews.
Spaghetti deal review.
Spaghetti deal review. Spaghetti deal review night. That's it.
I like that. I'm Italian. I like that.
That's what Thursdays are.
Spaghetti acquisitions.
Right.
Oh, Monday, that's our thing.
Monday is, let's see, what's Monday? Monday's data download and dinner on the beach.
Oh, great.
Pizza.
This is going to be my life now. Uh-huh. I can see where this is going.
Exactly.
We had dinner on the beach last night.
We did.
And here's why.
We had Chinese on the
Jill
beach.
Jill went on Amazon and she bought
a
coffee table for the beach.
Yep.
And I don't think it costs $15, but I've never seen you more happy with a piece of furniture.
A stupid little beach table.
She said,
stuff.
This changes everything. This changes everything. We can sit comfortably at the beach and eat Chinese food.
Not have to do it off a surfboard and I have to bend over or try to wipe the sand off.
So all the men out there, all it takes is, it doesn't take a big, huge rock diamond
it's
on your finger.
True.
Sometimes it just takes a $15
it's an item
Amazon,
off of Amazon table. For
That's
the beach it. That folds up. It's really cool. All right. Number three. Let's see if yours is the same as mine, Jack. My number three time saver, my final one here is invest in the right tools. Invest in the pro tools. Let me give you an example.
It's exactly my number three.
Is it? Okay, let me share mine. My example is like ParcelFact.
Oh my God.
Don't spend 2 hours trying to find property to save yourself a stupid $100 or whatever it is. Don't do that. Don't, like Jack said, East Coast, don't say, I'm going to go old school. I'm going to go to every county individually and I'm going to learn to manipulate the data. And you know what? I'm going to stay up all night inputting the data because it came in on a spreadsheet. I'm going to do it this way because I'm going to save some money. Did you really save some money? I don't think so.
No, you wasted time.
Yeah,
and you wasted your
energy,
most valuable resource, time.
And by the way, by 4 a.m. when you're still inputting stuff, you might have missed a whole line of things and some data that you needed, and that's costly, so you didn't save any money.
My number three is literally use the 21st century tools available. 21st century tools available to you.
A little spooky.
And leave your pride out of it, which is really what Jill was alluding to. You're not a bigger man or woman because you stayed up later and worked harder. You're not. I'll tell you what makes you a bigger man or a bigger person is using the tools that you need and spending more time with your kids or whatever else. Use ParcelFact the way it's intended. ParcelFact was designed. This is not a commercial for this, all right? Believe me, three people a day at least sign up for ParcelFact.
Was that a necessity that we had created?
We have never advertised. Never advertised.
Yeah.
And won't.
Except now.
It's designed. Oh, yeah, I guess it is. So I forget that it's not just you and I talking in a room.
Yeah.
ParcelFact is designed to massively remove the headache of locating property that doesn't have an address. Oh, Jack, I can do that on Google Earth. Okay, go try.
Yeah, go have some fun. See you in 2 hours. I did 30 seconds. All right, Jack, I got to say something. I'm a little spooked out right now.
I
really just paused and looked over at your list. We really did not talk about these. And your list is so like my list that if you and I start dressing alike, I'm going to really flip out.
I hate that. You know when couples have the same bikes and they have the same dogs and wear the same
jogging
sweatsuits. It makes me want to puke in my
It's
puke.
Awful. Remember those? Swish, swish, swish. If we start, keep
how does it start?
You and I.
What kind of guy signs off on
Could you imagine if you, that would be a funny little Saturday Night Live skit. If we did a little video of you and I walking down the beach with some matching poodles and swish, swish, swish suits. I think that would be funny.
Jesus, good God.
As a joke.
You could just remove my manhood right now.
No, I'm saying as a joke that would be funny to do. I'm not going to really do that. Oh my God. No. It would just be silly. So funny.
So yeah, those are the three. There's a lot of time-saving tips, and this is just a cursory scenario. But the other thing that is worth mentioning is it takes practice, like everything. Everything takes practice. You can't do it correctly the first time. I grew up in an environment where everybody thought that the first time you did something, you have to be an expert at it. Otherwise, you just suck. Here's a stupid, silly little example.
That's sad.
Jill and I live in a beach house.
I'm sorry.
It's got a two-car garage that was probably made for Model Ts, right? Well, our cars are not the size of Model Ts at all.
Right. We have to park creatively, is that what you're saying?
One of us is in the habit of, because they're not used to parking in that garage yet, smashing the car up against the side of the thing every single time.
I'm so sad. That takes a lot. I would smash it, but
so I have a gallon of
times I'm a little too close.
Gallon of rubbing alcohol to remove all the. Oh, it's not that bad. It just takes some practice. Now you're killing it.
I know. I'm gonna repaint my car eventually. In there now. It's okay. You can say that. There's times that I've come out like, how the heck did that happen? I didn't even hear it. Oh, man. Anyway.
We fixed it. Anyway, you're an expert. And it took 15 or 20 times, and now you're expert at parking the garage.
I should put foam on the side or something for myself. So silly.
Cut yourself some slack.
Hey, at least I didn't hit your car.
Yeah, that would suck.
Right?
Yeah, good point. You made my day just now.
Thank you. There's no blue paint on your black car.
Cut yourself some slack, please. And use the tools that are available to you. It's like having a baby. You don't get a trophy for not, you know, for having a drug-free baby.
What the? That was awful.
No, sometimes they say, don't get an epidural.
Oh, that.
You don't get a trophy for not getting an epidural.
Shoot. Yes, I thought you meant like raising a kid who's not a druggie.
Oh, no, you do get a trophy for that.
You do get it. Oh, my gosh. Wow.
This is the time to end the show.
Yes, on that note.
Join us in another episode where Jack and Jill confuse the hell out of each other. That's information. That's me.
Whew. And Jill tries to, I don't know.
Recover.
That's it. With inspiration. That's why I'm inspiration. I need it. That's me.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition.
I need inspiration every day.
It's the end of the week. That's what's going on.
It's true. Very true.
Both of us.
I know.
Information and inspiration to buy undervalued property.
We are Jack and Jill, and this was the Cashflow from Land Show. We are the experts at acquiring property
of all kinds, not just land,
for half price, just so we can flip it for way more
and really fast. Thanks for listening. You are not alone in your real estate ambition.